In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're continuing with volume 23, October 16th, 1927. So Jesus is teaching Luisa, true and perfect unity, while being one, must possess everything. So here, Jesus is showing Luisa that what Adam had in the beginning was this image and likeness of God, this true and perfect unity. So he says, and this everything must be all of an equal strength, all immense, all infinite, all eternal, without beginning and without end. So here, this image and likeness of God is what God God breathed into Adam. This is why Scripture says, "What's going to come? Eye is not seen, ear is not heard. What is going to come is for humanity makes what this body look like living dead." Compared to the abundant body of the glorified body of Jesus and Mary, her assumed body. True and perfect unity must possess everything. It must be all equal in strength, immensity, infinite, eternal, without beginning, without end. So this reflection of God is how we're supposed to be living. Now, when Adam sinned, he couldn't stay in paradise any longer. He had to leave paradise and go with the one who he listened to. And Jesus said, I saw Lucifer fall like lightning to the earth. This likeness that God is given to Adam was rejected. So Adam had to go where to the one who he listened to. And for the last 6,000 years, we've been under the thumb of the evil one. Now, 2,000 years ago, we've been redeemed through the new Adam, Jesus, and the new Eve, Mary. And so this gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies that Jesus gives to Luisa is to go back to where we were before the fall of Adam. So he says this, therefore, the one who lives in the divine will, now this is Luisa, within the immense and gigantic waves it possesses, is in such a way that the soul feels the empire of one's strength, of light, of sanctity, of love. So returning back to this image and likeness of God, which God breathed into Adam, which Adam lost, is the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. And so therefore, he says that the one who lives in the divine will feels within themselves the immense and gigantic waves that it possesses in such a way that the soul feels the empire of one's strength of light, of sanctity, and of love. So in this one strength, everything is light for the soul. Everything changes into sanctity. Everything changes into love. Everything changes into power. And all things bring her the knowledge of the wisdom of this unity. So this is what God is offering to us. He says basically to Luisa, now is the time for sanctification. Now is the time for humanity to begin to live this abundant life. So the Lord looks at us and he asks us, are you ready to begin? Are you ready to begin this new and divine way of holiness that I breathed into Luisa? And he says, if so, he says, I've given you the book of heaven to teach you how and why this is going to happen. So the book of heaven, as Jesus said, is like no other book on earth. It's the only book that can transform a soul. So what is happening is little by little, as you read, as you study, as you put this into practice, little by little, you begin to enter into this life, this true life of Jesus, this true life of Mary. Now, the saints, they love Jesus and Mary. And the saints learned how to do the will of God. Okay, so, but to live in the will of God, Jesus says to Louisa, has never been taught. To live in the will of God is to begin to live this new and divine way of holiness that God has prepared for humanity, to return back to that life that Adam had before the fall. So he says this, I mean, listen to what he says. The soul who lives within the divine will lives within the immense, gigantic waves, this ocean of love, this ocean of light, this ocean of life that it possesses. And the soul feels the empire, this empire of the one strength of the light, the sanctity, the love of God. It's to go back to where Adam was before the fall, to begin to live in God's image and likeness. This is the reason why Our Lady of Revelation said to Bruno in 1946, time has now come to an end. It's not the end of the world. It's the end of the reign of the evil one. The 6,000 years is over. We've entered into the third millennium. We've entered the 7,000th year. And when you look at sacred scripture, it's very clear there. When it shows the evening of the first day, the morning of the second day, the evening of the second day, the morning of the third day. There's no seventh day. There's no morning or evening of the seventh day. That 7,000th year is where we are now. That's why John Paul II went throughout the world for 27 years, telling everyone, get ready. Get ready for what? Get ready for a new and divine way of holiness that's coming upon the earth. So he knew very clearly the teachings that the lessons that God gave to Saint Faustina. So he says very, very clearly to us what Jesus said to Saint Faustina, the final devotion I give to my church before I return is divine mercy. That's why divine mercy is so beautiful, but it's not the end. It's the end of the way we've lived for 2,000 years. A new beginning is coming for humanity. That's why everything seems to be falling apart. Everything seems to be falling apart at this point. Why? Because it's everything's going to change. Everything is going to change. So as the temple in Jerusalem fell, the curtain was torn in two after the crucifixion. 70 years later, 70 AD is when the temple was gone. The same thing is happening now. We're going to enter into this kingdom of God being established on earth as it is in heaven. So Jesus says, I'm going to give you a way and how to begin to understand how to live this new and divine way of holiness. It's not to put everything back together to the 50s. It's to begin to live the way God has planned from the beginning of time, to return back to the womb of the Father. So he says, therefore, the one who lives in it is within the immense and gigantic waves of this ocean of peace, joy, and happiness. Everything changes with the strength of this light, of this love, of this life of God. So this one strength, everything is light. Everything changes to sanctity. Everything changes into love. Everything changes into power. And he says, and all things bring that soul the knowledge and the wisdom of this divine unity. So what God has planned for us, this new and divine way of holiness, is essential for us to understand. Nothing's going to be the same anymore. It can't be the same anymore. So all this worry, this fear, this anxiety, this complaints, this negativity, Jesus says, stop it. Either he is in charge and his mother, the king and queen, or he's not. We know with what the saints have gone through, and now we know even a little bit more by reading, studying, and putting into practice the truths, the lessons that Jesus gave to Louisa, that this new and divine way of holiness that's coming upon the earth, it's going to bring humanity that searching for love and truth that humanity has been looking for 6,000 years. With Jesus and Mary coming to earth 2,000 years ago, it was the beginning of this life that Adam lost, bringing us back to that universal life, that universal love, the Catholic life, the Catholic love that Adam lost. And so this new and divine way of holiness is coming. Everyone will be Catholic. When Jesus says there'll be one church, one flock, one shepherd, that's what's happening. That's what's coming about. And when you look at Christian faith, there's, what is it, 40,000 different denominations. You know, it's fractured. When you look at the life of the earth, it's one religion fighting another religion. This confusion, this misery is coming to an end. A new and divine way of holiness is coming to the earth. And that's one of the things that if you've looked into the spinning of the Milky Way, we're entering into, you know, they've song of Aquarius, a new way of living. That's written in the stars. It's not astrology, but the heavens proclaim the glory of God. It's written in the stars. And if you look at where we are now in the history of the heavens, it shows that we're entering into a new dimension, if you want to say. Okay, now you've heard a lot of people talk about, if you haven't, it's quite interesting, this new frequency. So they show that the Milky Way basically has been in a negative frequency for 6,000 years, and now we're spinning into a higher frequency. That higher frequency is basically, as some of the people have described it, is an era of peace, joy, and happiness. Jesus says, I mean, everything natural, as St. Thomas Aquinas says, has to prepare the world for the supernatural. So this era of a higher frequency is basically for us heaven. It's a new and divine way of holiness that's coming, that's been prophesied. It's a new and divine way of holiness that we know we have to enter into. So Jesus says to Louisa, if you're worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative, you can't enter into the kingdom. You have to be peaceful, joyful, and happy, because Jesus says that's who he is. That's who his mother is. The king and queen of the new era is peaceful, joyful, and happy. He is the Prince of Peace. She is the Queen of Peace. We pray for peace every day to Our Lady, Queen of Peace. Why? We're going to enter into this whether you want to or not. The kingdom is coming whether you want to or not. A new and divine way of holiness is coming whether you want to or not. And what side are you on? So Jesus says to Louisa, there's light and there's darkness. Which side? There's the sheep, there's the goats. Which side? There's the wheat, there's the tares. Which side? You know, it's the Lord is saying, you have to choose what life you want. So that's what's happening today. What's we're seeing, as scripture says, the good will get better and the bad will get worse. Why? They're choosing their side. What do we want? We want the Lord. We want our Savior. We want our King. We want our Master. We want His Mother, the Queen of Heaven and Earth. We want this abundant life. There's others who want darkness. Satanism is the fastest growing religion. Why? The Lord is saying, what do you want? I have to give it to you. Now, you have to go remember, you have to go back to Genesis 3:15. There, I put enmity between you, Lucifer, and the woman, between your seed, your children, and her children. There's two groups here. So it's always, I mean, you look at the brothers in the garden. I mean, the brothers Adam and Eve, Abel and Cain and Abel, the brothers of Jacob, the sons of Jacob, the sons of Abraham. There's always two groups. Why? what the Lord wants to give to his people, there's this rebellion against what God wants. And so God is showing us, for those who want this, he says to Louisa, after 2,000 years of the Holy Church, 2,000 years of the medicine that I've given to humanity, which is the sacraments and sacramentals, he says, now, he says, I'm going to give, you're mature enough, Jesus says, to choose what side you want. You have learned basically the simple ABCs of this universal life. And Jesus says, now are you ready to begin to live this? So it's reflected in the heavens. It's reflected on earth. It's this life that's coming, is God is getting us ready for, as John Paul II has said, a new and divine way of holiness. So Jesus says, when you enter into this light, sanctity, and love, you enter into its power. You enter into its knowledge. You enter into its wisdom. If this unity of the light, and this going back to what Adam lost, that's why volume 20 through volume 36 is to receive the divine inheritance of the Father. Why? Volume 1 through volume 10 is how to live in the, how to become a divine mirror of Jesus, how to become a saint in a simple way. You know, and then volume 11 through volume 19, Jesus says, has never been taught. The saints didn't know about this. Why? It's that second Pentecost that's coming, where you will live in through the power of the Holy Spirit, this new and divine way of holiness that's coming upon the earth. You begin to live this. And then finally, volume 20 through volume 36, how to receive the divine inheritance of the Father. This new and divine way of holiness is very, very close. This new and divine way of holiness is God says, I'm going to pour this upon my children. This shower, this cleansing, this love, which is a purification. He says there was three purifications. One of the flood, where the world was washed clean from what? The sons of God having children from the daughters of Adam, which were called the Nephilim. That's in Genesis 6. That's why the purification took place. The second purification was the blood of Jesus, his shedding of his blood, every drop of his blood. He gave up everything to wash us clean from the under the thumb of the evil one. Being damned has been stopped for those who want that, those who desire that. And so he's freed. He's washed the world again clean with his precious blood. And now the third purification is coming. That's fire. You know, the Lord is going to judge the world with divine justice and his fire of love. That's symbolized by the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve that's going to purify the world with this consuming love of Jesus and Mary through Louisa. This great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, this great event that's coming is to get us ready for this new and divine way of holiness. We're not there yet. We still go to confession each week. We're still under the thumb because the evil one knows our weaknesses. And he's always lying. He's always deceiving. He's always killing. With us, though, Jesus is saying, basically, keep on the straight and narrow, basically. Use the medicines that I've given you, the sacraments and sacramentals. And soon, he says, soon the kingdom is going to be established on earth as it is in heaven. It's the prayer of the Our Father that's being fulfilled. So therefore, Jesus is saying to us, after you enter this knowledge of the wisdom of the unity of the light, which to me is the book of heaven, he says, live in it is the greatest miracle. To live in it is the perfect carrying out of the divine life in humanity. This is what God wanted from the beginning. This new and divine way of holiness is very close, and you're choosing every day what you want. For example, what did you choose this past Sunday? Did you keep holy the Sabbath? Was it the Lord's Day, or was it another Saturday for you where you can enjoy sports? You can enjoy whatever you want, but not God. Keep holy the Sabbath and everything will go well with you. If you're having trouble, go back to confession. If you're having trouble, go back to Holy Mass. Begin to live this greatest miracle that God is perfectly carrying out for the souls who want to live in the divine will. It's ours if we want it. There's, you know, scripture says in I think it's in the Colossians, that everyone knows God and they choose whether to be faithful or not. And in this time where the evil one is panicking because he knows his time is over, he knows his time is short. How do we know that? Well, if you think of the vision of Pope Leo XIII, the devil said basically to Jesus, give me 100 more years, more power, and I'll destroy the church. I'll destroy humanity. God says it's yours. See, God gives everybody what they want. And that's why it's the human will is miserable. What is the human will? It's worry, it's fear, it's anxiety, it's complaints, it's negativity. It's doubting God's love. It's misery. So Jesus is asking us to get rid of the worry, the fear, the anxiety, the complaints, the negativity, the sin. That's what you do when you go to confession. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. This is what I thought, said, I did. I said, I did. I didn't do. I failed to do. This confession, free, when you make a good confession, you're full of grace. You're happy. You're entering into that universal life again of holiness. You can only be happy if you're holy. Okay, what were the, every morning when we do the Canticle of Zechariah, we go through the three promises. The three promises that were given to Abraham, that we were free to, freed from the enemy when Jesus died on the cross. That's why the crucifix is so powerful. It's the power and it's the strength of God. It's the wisdom of God. It's the love of God. Not just a cross, but the crucifix with Jesus on it. Now, a lot of people want to put the word love on the cross or put a dove on the cross. They don't want Jesus on the cross. Jesus on the cross is the power of God. Wear your cross. Have a cross in your house. Have a cross in each room of your house. It doesn't have to be a large cross, but this house belongs to Jesus. It's the blood of the Lamb, if you want to say, on your doorposts, saying when the angel of death comes, and the angel of death is coming. It has to. That's what the 3 days of darkness is. God's going to say to death, take what's yours and get out. The kingdom is coming. We have to understand it's not the end of the world. It's a new era that's coming, a beautiful era that's coming that God is getting all the world ready for. It's in this new and divine way of holiness is through Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. So this greatest miracle, the perfect carrying out of the divine will, is found in the book of heaven. If you're reading, if you're studying, if you're putting this into practice, God bless you. You're becoming happy. You're realizing that this life of misery that we've been in for 6,000 years is coming to an end. The life of peace, joy, and happiness is coming. And it's coming for all those who want it. Jesus says to Louisa, your desire is what I'm going to give you. He gave it to Lucifer. Lucifer didn't want God. He wanted hell. God said, it's yours. He's saying it to us. What do you want? Do you want perfect happiness, perfect order, perfect peace? Or do you want disorder? Do you want misery? Then whatever you want, Jesus says, I have to give to you. Jesus doesn't condemn us to hell. We condemn ourselves to hell. This is what we've chosen. This is what we want. This is how we've lived. But we can make that conversion. We can make that new beginning happen by going to confession. And if your family's away from the church and you're worried about them, you just pray to Jesus, pray to Our Lady that they go back to confession. They go back to the Holy Mass. God is going to answer your prayers. Jesus says, ask, believe that you will receive it and it is yours. And in the divine will, God gives us the command prayer and there's no stopping that because it's Jesus's prayer. That's what Peter did when he was walking on the water. He said, if you're the Messiah, Jesus, command me to come to you. And Jesus said, come. He gets out of the boat and he walks on water. Things that are seem impossible are going to happen. What, why, how, with a new Adam and the new Eve? When we begin to fall in love with a new Adam and the new Eve, entering into this new and divine way of holiness, everything in the Holy Church becomes alive in us. Our dogma, our doctrine, everything becomes alive. We begin to see that what the Lord has planned for us is good and holy. So going back to Abraham, the first promise, be freed from the enemy when Jesus died on the cross. The second promise, free to worship God without fear. When we go in front of the Blessed Sacrament, when we go in front of the monstrance, that is God Almighty, holy, holy, holy Lord God of Sabaoth. And we adore him and we love him. And there's no fear in our heart. When we receive Holy Communion, there's no fear in our heart. We're falling in love with God. So the second promise has been made. The third promise to Abraham is to become holy and righteous in God's sight all the days of our life. This holiness is happiness. You can't be happy without holiness. If you're holy, you're happy. Like I said, when you go to make a good confession with a firm purpose of amendment to avoid the near occasions of sin, when you leave, you are happy. Why? You're full of grace at that point. And until the devil comes and taps you on the shoulder and starts causing you trouble. And that's where you have to refocus your attention on Jesus. That's why Eucharistic adoration is so powerful. It's not a place to read a book. It's a place to fall in love with Jesus, to begin to recognize him. He is so beautiful. He is so holy. He is so perfect. He is so loving that if he showed himself in his glory, we would be annihilated. He's so beautiful. He's so perfect. He's so loving. And he's asking us to spend time with him now to prepare ourselves for the eternity with God, to enter into that eternal life. And that's why Our Lady said to Bruno in 1947, Our Lady of Revelation, she said, my children are going to enter into eternity where they belong. That's where we belong, in eternity. Why, she says, to enjoy the beatific vision. And she says, where the children of the devil will always be trapped in time and space, never enter into eternity, and never be able to participate in the beatific vision, to enjoy who God is, to delight in who God is, to be in awe of who God is. So our time here on earth is to get us ready for eternity. And the time is short. Come on. I mean, really think about it. Has time moved a little quicker, more quickly lately? Yeah, I think that was said to St. Anthony. Two things to St. Anthony. Number one, that time would speed up. And number two, information will be overflowing. We'll enter into an information age. Those aren't the words exactly, but it gives you the idea. And if you remember a study, when you went to the library, you'd have to go to the little cabinet there, find the name of the author or the name of the book. Then you have to go through the file cabinet, and then you have to find, oh, it's on this is the book I want. This is the number. Then you go down the aisles of the library, finding there's the number, here's the book. And then you went through the whole book, reading the whole book to find what you were looking for. Ah, this is what the saint said, or this is what our dogma doctrine is about. Today, everyone on their phone has every library in the world. And all you have to do is just type in a few things, and there it is. Boom. And there's no cutting and pasting. I remember that when the fax machines came out, the cutting and pasting. My spiritual director, he was great at that. And he would spend all day, going through the books and the saintly books, the good books, the holy books, and put his thought on paper for us to read. And he was always with a copying machine, copying and copying and cutting and pasting, cutting and pasting. Now it's right here. And what we have This is the other thing that's just amazing. When I was first introduced to Louisa, we really had nothing. We had passages that were on mimeograph sheets of paper. But in 1996, on the feast of the presentation, the feast of the purification of Mary, the Book of Heaven came out of the secret archives of the Vatican. And then in 2005, we had good translations in English. This is, Jesus said, when this book comes out, it will change the face of the earth. There's no worry with Louisa. There's no fear with Louisa. There's no anxiety with Louisa. It's peace, joy, and happiness. It's seeing and knowing and learning. Like he says, it's the greatest miracle that's being perfectly carried out in the divine life of humanity. The word unity means everything. This unity between God and man. This is what Adam lost. The soul takes everything by living in the divine will. Our God is trying to get us ready. Everything is ready. This new and divine way of holiness is so close. It's so close. The evil one's time to end is so close that he's going to be banished from earth. How do we know? When the kingdom of God comes on earth as it is in heaven, he's been banished from heaven. He has to be banished from earth. And what does that mean? Not just the earth, not just our solar system, not just our galaxy, but the universe. He has to be gone. He has to go back to hell. Why? That new and divine way of holiness that's coming upon earth is the as Our Lady said, in the end, my Immaculate Heart will triumph. It's the triumph of the Blessed Mother. What is her triumph? Is that her children become like her son, image and likeness again. That's where we are. And this is why God has given us the Book of Heaven. He's given us the Book of Heaven so that we can begin to live heaven. And that's what you see with the little children of the Holy Divine Will. Those who are really striving to live in the divine will are happy, are peaceful, are joyful. When I see somebody who's living in the divine will, miserable, I say, when did you read last? Well, I've got this going on. I've got that going on. You're back in your misery. Begin to live the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, which is found in the Book of Heaven. This is why it says to live in the divine will is the greatest miracle, the perfectly carrying out the divine life in you. It's the word unity means everything. And this unity God is giving to us to begin to live now. So volume 23, October 23rd, 1927. Just so Jesus is now saying to Louisa, on the other hand, the kingdom of my divine will is the kingdom of life. The kingdom of the evil one is misery. It's death. And he seduced Eve and Adam. Adam listened to his voice, not the Lord's voice. He had to leave life. He had to leave the kingdom of life, paradise, to be with the evil one. And Jesus says, again, I saw Lucifer fall like lightning to the earth. Ooh. Adam could not stay. He obeyed the wrong person. He obeyed the evil one. He didn't obey our God. So therefore, the life of the creator enclosed in the creature is the kingdom of life. And that the creature transfused and identified with the creator. Okay, think about this. When God breathed into the dust, we're dust, we're dust. When God breathed into the dust, we were then transfused and identified with God, the image and likeness of God. That's what God has breathed into us. That's why when we pray the Our Father, we're talking about ourselves. May your kingdom come on earth, this dust. Jesus says the kingdom of God is within you as it is in heaven. So we're making a decision to obey the prayer of the Our Father. The kingdom of the divine will is life. It's light. It's love. It's this ocean of peace, joy, and happiness that God wants us to dive into and never leave. The life of the Creator is enclosed within humanity, and that of the humanity is transfused and identified with God. That's the image and likeness. We have the image through holy baptism, but the likeness isn't here. Why? Now is the time that Jesus is giving this to humanity, and he's asking us, are you willing to say yes to this? Are you willing to enter into this abundant life? He's talking to all the world. I just heard, what was it? Yesterday, I think it was yesterday, where 200 Muslims had a dream of Jesus, and they all want to know who this Jesus is. It's God is talking to everyone. The devil is talking to everyone. This decision, darkness or light, tare or wheat, you know, which one do you want? And so God is going to win. The evil one's going to lose. He's going to lose horribly. It's going to be awful for him. He says, therefore, the kingdom of my divine will is of unreachable height and divine nobility. The soul is then constituted as queen. See, we are royalty. Our Father is the King of the universe. Jesus is our Savior, our Lord, our Master, our King, our all. Mary is his mother, our queen. So what Jesus says, look at this transfusion that's going to happen is going to bring you to life. You're going to identify with your Father in heaven. The kingdom of the divine will is of unreachable height. No one on earth can obtain it by being good and holy and saintly. This is the gift from God himself. Like, what does he say to Louisa? He tells Louisa that the saints did everything. They built hospitals, built convents, built monasteries, built orphanages, built universities to learn how to do the will of God. And Jesus says, now it's my turn, Jesus says. I'm building you a palace. I've gone away. And I'm coming back to take you with me. This building of the palace is the new Jerusalem that's coming. So we had Jerusalem. We had Rome. And now what's coming is the new Jerusalem. You have to understand, God has everything planned perfectly. So he says, the kingdom of my divine will is of unreachable height and divine nobility, because in this kingdom, the human, the soul, is constituted queen. Jesus says, I want to clothe you in divine nobility again. Adam was naked. He lost the clothing of God when he sinned. He says, now I want to clothe you with the divine nobility. Think about it. When Jesus died naked on the cross, they buried him. He came up and he was clothed in divine nobility. His body, they knew it was the Lord, but he was so beautiful. They knew it was Jesus, but they didn't recognize him at first. Why? He reached the height and nobility. He says, and do you know what? Now he's talking about us. The soul is made queen of. No, so now Jesus is giving us a hint of what's coming. The queen of divine sanctity, the queen of divine love, the queen of divine beauty, the queen of divine light, the queen of divine goodness, the queen of divine grace, and some, the queen of the divine life and all of its divine qualities. That's our Lady. That's our Lord. This new and divine way of holiness, we're not going to, there's not going to be religious communities in the new era. There can't be. We won't need a religious community. That's what the saints have taught us. This is how I've learned about Jesus. This is how I learned about Mary. Follow my direction and you can become a Benedictine, a Dominican, you follow my rule of Franciscan. Jesus says, you're not going to need that in the new era. You're going to follow the life of the new Adam, Jesus, and the new Eve, Mary. It's not about a religious community, but what God originally planned for Adam and Eve. Think about that. You know, marriage is a great institution, but marriage is tough. In the new era, marriage is going to be exactly the way God wanted it from the beginning with Adam and Eve. It's this new and divine way of holiness is new for us. It's for God. It's what he planned from the beginning. In some, the queen of divine life and all of its divine qualities, that is the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Or her children have what she possesses: sanctity, love, beauty, light, goodness, grace. The queen of divine life, the queen of all of the divine qualities. What a noble kingdom and full of life is this kingdom of my divine will, Jesus says. This new and divine way of holiness is so great. It's so glorious. It's so magnificent. So Jesus says, Luisa, my daughter, when my divine will wants to issue one of its knowledges or one new act, heaven and earth honor it. See, it's of God that's coming. And listen to it reverently. That's what happens when we read the Book of Heaven. If you're reading the calendar, you can't wait to get back to read the calendar every day. I can't wait to see what Jesus is going to say. I can't wait to learn more about the new heavens and the new earth, to honor it and to reverently listen to our Savior, our Queen, our Mother when she speaks. All creation feels a new divine act flowing within them that, like vital humor, embellishes the soul and renders the soul twice as happy. You're beginning to taste heaven on earth. They feel as though honored by their very Creator, who with his omnipotent fiat communicates to them these new truths, these new knowledges, these new lessons about the divine will. And they await the attitude of that knowledge in the creature to see the new act of the divine will repeated in the creature. Why? To have the confirmation of that good, as well as the joy and happiness of these new knowledges, these new truths, these new lessons that they bring. That's why when you read the Book of Heaven, you're so happy. Jesus says, my divine will then takes the attitude of feast because it issues from itself a divine life that, while being directed to one soul, that's Luisa, spreads and communicates itself to all of humanity. That's where we are right now. This is this spark, if you want to say, that came from Poland. Okay. The spark to me is the divine mercy. The final devotion I give to my church before I return, divine mercy. Divine mercy to me is divine. It's the explosion of what the divine will is. It's the pointing to what the divine will is. It's spreading through all the earth. It's communicating itself to all of humanity. This is where God is. He's asking us, he's pleading with us to begin to live this abundant life. It's at your fingertips. It's on your phone if you want it. Go to luisapicaretta.me. I think we've got, I think it's 7 more books that are coming out. These themes, you begin to understand the divine will is a library. Each word is a library. As you read it, as you study it, it's just so massive. It includes everyone and everything, past, present, and future. There's no end. 1,000 million years from now, in the eternity of God, we'll just be at the beginning of how beautiful, how holy, how perfect our God is. We're going to be in awe of our Lord, our Savior. We're going to be in awe of our Mother and Queen, Mary. This divine life is being directed to Luisa and now to all of humanity. As we read what Jesus taught Luisa, we begin to live in it. We begin to love this. We begin to possess this. This is the greatest time to be alive. We're going to witness what God promised Adam with not only the Messiah, with redemption, but now with sanctification. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa, and we pray that this prayer becomes God's command, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.